The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. For those listening live, and of course it's whatever time it is for you if you're listening to the recording. So anyway, in either case, welcome. Glad to have you joining us today. And let's jump right in to the connecting. As always, just allow your breathing to deepen. And we're going to start with the connection to your own divinity, to your own mastery, to your own power, your soul, your oversoul, your higher self. Call it whatever you like. That's what we're opening up into first. And do that whatever way works best for you. For many, it works best to go into the heart and open up in the heart to allow that energy to flow. But if you have a better way, by all means, do what works for you. But what definitely will help is setting clear intention for yourself, setting the intention that you are choosing to expand your experience of that divinity, of that mastery, throughout your being, throughout your physical body, throughout your emotional body, throughout your mental body, allowing it to fill your aura and your entire energy field and to flow down into all of those energetic connections, joining you with others, into all of your relationships, in other words. Just breathe with that and know that to whatever degree you might experience a change consciously here, that's what's perfect for you. And if you're not noticing anything consciously, that's okay too. If nothing else, allowing your breathing to deepen will definitely create some sort of a shift in you as we go here. So, knowing that we're going to leave these pathways open to this level, kind of like turning up the volume on the stereo, we're just going to set that wherever it is now, and it's going to stay at least that level, that volume, throughout the time that we are here today. Let's move on and open some more connections. And the next connection to open is into the connection with our Mother Earth. She grounds us. She gives us a physical dimension in to experience and is that primary source of energy for us at the physical level. But the energy doesn't stop there. That's where we can connect with lots of other energies as well. So to open up to her, some people choose the chakras in the feet, some the root chakra, some both. Some people choose to go through their skin. Some people choose to connect with all the cells of their body. Whatever works best for you is quite fine. Again, the important piece is the breathing. Allow your breathing to continue to deepen or even deepen further. And the intention. You're opening up to connect with all the energies she has to offer at this time. But I would categorize them in one of two ways. They're energies of love and acceptance, or they're energies of support. So the energies of love and acceptance are the energies that can feed us. The energies of support are energies that support us as we step into this increasing expression, this increasing experience first, and then expression of the divinity, of the mastery we are. So again, allow your breathing to bring these energies into your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, and allow them to flow throughout and fill your aura, your entire energy field, and even to move on down into all of those energetic connections of your relationships. And just breathe with that nice and easy. All right then. Once more, knowing that we've set that volume here, it's going to stay at least that loud throughout the time that we are co-creating here today. Let's move on and open up to connect with the energies of our support team in the other dimensions, our angels, our guides, spiritual teachers, ascended masters and mentors, etc., that we have access to and that they like to remind us we don't ask enough from. We don't ask for enough help. So here we are opening up to ask for more of their love and support, opening up ourselves to receive it. It's always there waiting for us, but it's up to us to choose to receive it. So again, opening in whatever way works best for you. Some open through the heart, some through the third eye, some through the crown, some in other ways. Set that intention. I'm opening to receive the love and support of my divine support team. And breathe that in and let it fill you on the physical level, on the emotional level, on the mental level. Allow it to fill your entire aura and energy field and to flow on out into and support all of your relationships. And once more, we'll set that volume there, whatever it is, whatever degree it's been expanded with our intention here. We're going to set it there as we move on to open up the next set of connections. And these are with each other, with this community, the Ascended, exposing the Masters within community, where we share this intention, this goal, this direction to move into greater empowerment, to move into more of our mastery. And in that shared intention, we've created a mass consciousness. And so that's what we're tapping into here. That shared energy, that shared mass consciousness, that shared intention. And feeling that almost like a life raft or one of those lifesavers that they throw out if someone's in the ocean drowning. It's to give us extra buoyancy, extra lift. And so, again, just open, focus the breathing, and set the intention. I'm receiving the energy of this shared intention of moving into empowerment, moving into mastery, and allow that energy to flow through the physical level, the emotional level, the mental level, to fill the aura and the energy field, and to flow into all of your relationships. And we expand once more into a level of mass consciousness larger than that. It's the mass consciousness of all of the conscious light workers, all those who are consciously walking this path, who may yet not have found this program and yet are contributing to that larger mass consciousness of all who would seek mastery, of all who are choosing to move toward mastery. And so again, we're opening up into that mass consciousness to feel it lift us, to feel that we don't have to do all of this alone, that we don't have to do all of it without support. And so allow yourself to breathe that in through the physical level, the emotional level, and the mental level, to fill the aura and the entire energy field and to flow into each one of your relationships, seeking to bring your awareness of your own mastery and the mastery of all those you're in relationship with to the next higher level. All right. Breathe that. And we move on to a mass consciousness that is being created by all who are in a physical body right now. Each of us at the core, I believe very firmly, we have a place where our divinity is not fully shut off. It's a spark. And the more we move forward on our path, the more that spark awakens. The more we choose to step toward our divinity, the more that spark awakens. But I believe that spark is in everyone, and it feeds the fire of seeking betterment, for seeking to improve things, for seeking to make life better. And I believe that's in each and every human, and I believe that that is a major, major source of energy and support that we can tap into. And so that's what we're going to do. Tap into a mass consciousness that is literally being created moment by moment by every one of us in body. And allow yourself to breathe that in through your physical, your emotional, and your mental bodies. Allow it to fill your entire aura, your entire energy field, and to flow into all of your relationships. All right. Very good. And thank you for co-creating. Connecting in that way allows this to be a co-creative venture. And so I've got two different topics here, which might be moved into one somehow. I'm not sure. We shall see. Maybe I'll get to both of them. Maybe I won't. But two different things have been in my consciousness. Well, lots of other things have been there, but as far as this program goes, two things have been at the top of my consciousness. One of them has been around for a little while, and I'm finding it, well, powerful. Powerful to talk about. And it's been coming up because a lot of the people that I've been working with have been dealing with physical death, physical departure. And it's such an important topic, and it's a topic that our culture, I believe, does a really crappy job dealing with. I don't know when the funeral home industry really came into vogue, and I can certainly look back and see throughout the last century the movement of death out of the home and into the hospital as a primary cultural movement. And I think we've really lost something because of that. Because we have distanced ourselves from death. And, well, it's been going on for quite some time now. I don't know if this is something that has been a part of your life specifically or not. But over the last probably couple of years, it seems to be that death is touching more of us. More of us are knowing people who are crossing. And maybe that's just perception because of what I'm doing and the number of people that I work with who have experienced that. Maybe it's not. I can't say that it's some bump up in the death rate, that there are more people dying now. Maybe it's just something that is reaching a heightening level of awareness for me. But I'm presuming, especially since it came out of my mouth first here today, that it's what is the more important topic to talk about a little bit. And there's a few things that to me seem very important in this. One is probably the most important one, is how we look at death, physical death of the body, creates how we experience it. Now, we can go back to things like the Tibetan Book of the Dead or the Egyptian, well, some call it the Book of the Dead. That's not the official title, and I don't have it near enough at hand that I can get it out to look at it. You know, we have ancient texts that give instructions on crossing over. And certainly there are religious rituals that have been handed down, whether that's Jewish, whether that's Christian, whether that's Buddhist or Hindu. Some of them are shaped very much by the landscape. For instance, the Tibetans, because they don't have, well, they don't have a ton of extra wood there to burn things, and because not necessarily the best soil to bury bodies, their burial customs or their death rituals, in many cases, at least have been traditionally, that they took the body out onto the hillside and literally cut it up for the scavengers, for the scavenger birds to come get. And that in some ways sounds perhaps barbaric to our senses in the West, to our sense of decorum and what is right, but that was shaped very much by the environment. And this environment that we have across the U.S. and across the Western world, which is where the great majority of the people who would listen to this program are at, the environment that we have is that death is removed. It's something over there. And so we don't have a direct experience of it very often. Now, certainly there is a growing, I believe it's growing, I haven't looked at statistics, there is a growing movement toward hospice, which allows people to not be in the setting of the hospital to die if they have something that they're dying of that is long-term, etc. There is a movement toward not saving the life at all costs, you know, setting up the kinds of wills and medical, I want to say medical power of attorney, but that's not it, that allows people to choose in advance, that they don't want extraordinary measures used to save them. They don't want all those machines to be hooked up to go through the kinds of things that, well, have gotten into the consciousness of the United States anyway, with Terry Schiavo was one where there was big court battles about who has the right or the power to pull the plug on someone who is, as far as the medical establishment is concerned, is being kept alive just by machines and is not mentally capable of making the choice to let go. And having that level of removal from death that the great majority of our culture has, I think, has not only shifted how we deal with death, but it's shifted how we deal with life. Because it becomes something, death becomes something that we don't have experience of very frequently, most people anyway. We're not around people as they're passing. We're not necessarily going to be there when, as I believe, and I think you do, or you wouldn't be listening, when the soul leaves the body. And when those doors are opening, and many people have the opportunity to experience something that goes beyond just the physical level of reality, just the physical death of the body, where maybe the one who's getting ready to leave starts to connect with those on the other side. And might seem like rambling to people who don't believe in this, but it can be felt for those who've witnessed it. They can feel what the dying person is talking about sometimes. And for me, that's an aspect of what I'm talking about when I say this disconnection from death disconnects us from life in a way, because having those kinds of experiences, now you don't have to be around people who are dying to have those kinds of experiences, but having those kinds of experiences of connecting with the other side in that kind of way, where it opens our perception to a greater reality, I think that's part of what has created not just a falling away from churches, but a lessening in some ways of connection to divinity, period. And maybe I'm wrong about that, that it's a disconnection from divinity, period. There are lots of people who, for instance, are finding that in nature, connecting in other ways. And as I said, you don't have to be around death to have those experiences. But being out in nature, that's part of what you connect with. Not that you connect with death all the time if you go take a walk, but that's built in. That helps us connect with our unconscious aspect. We go out into nature, we're going to see the trees that have fallen. We're going to see perhaps the bones of some bird or some animal that has been killed. We're going to see antlers that have been shed, etc. We're going to see those energies of the natural cycle of things. And well, I believe firmly in the challenge that's been given multiple times in the last few months in the channelings, that we have the power to really choose to transcend the limitations of the physical in this lifetime. We have the power, we have the capacity, we have the opportunity on the planet now. I believe in a way that has never been true before, to move toward empowerment, to move toward ascension in much larger numbers because of the shifting in energies that have taken place. And that being said, I still think that for a culture as a whole, we are losing out because we have this disconnection from death. Again, another aspect of that is that we're dying all the time. It's not just at the end point when the soul checks out of the body that death is occurring. It's occurring right now. Who knows how many thousands, if not millions, of cells have died in each of our bodies since we've started connecting here today. Who knows? I don't. Scientists might be able to give you a number, but it's going on all the time. But by taking ourselves away from that bigger picture of it, and we've done that in other ways as well, because we live in a much more urban environment now. If you go back to what this country was like at the time it was founded, and compare it to right now. Back then, very few people, tiny percentage, lived in anything resembling a city or an urban environment. Most of the people lived out on the land. If they were going to eat something that was flesh, they were going to kill it to eat it. So we don't do that either. We go to the supermarket, we pick up the meat, we pick up whatever we're going to eat, prepackaged, ready to go. We don't connect life with death the way that used to happen. And I think as a society and as a culture, we are poorer because of that. Now, I'm very grateful that I don't have to go out and hunt or even farm to be able to eat. But at the same time, I do believe that this is a useful thing to ponder, to look at. I don't know where this fascination started. I know when I was an undergraduate in college, one of my favorite movies that I came across was a very odd little thing called Harold and Maude, if any of you are familiar with that movie, where it's interesting for multiple reasons. One is that this young guy, I don't know, 20, maybe in his teens even, I don't know how old he is, in his 20s perhaps, his pastime is to go to funerals. And he ends up meeting someone who has that pastime as well. I mean, another fascinating thing about it is the woman that he meets is probably in her 60s, and they start dating, or whatever you want to say, starting out as friends. But they meet because they're both fascinated with death and trying to live more fully by connecting with death more consciously. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out there, nor am I suggesting that that's a good place to pick up a date at a funeral. But it's become so different now than it was. I mean, when I was younger and was an altar boy, there was something very different about working the funerals than there was a wedding, than there was a regular mass. And I don't know that I can put my finger on it. And well, it seems almost silly to say that. Of course, there's something different. We would hope that the people who are going to a funeral are feeling differently than the people who are going to a wedding. Well, really? Why? Why? I mean, yes, at a funeral, the people who are left behind are grieving the loss, the empty space that is going to be in their life, because this person has departed from the body. But at the same time, every significant change is a death, even as it is a rebirth. Two people getting married, there are lots of things dying in their lives as they step into this new life together. And there are traditions on this planet where it's the birth of a child that is mourned and the death that is celebrated, because coming into body means coming into the experience of the polarities and coming into the experience of separation and coming into the suffering that is associated with it. And dying is the end of all that. Now, in a culture like that, that actually has that as their priority, where death is the thing to be celebrated, life is the thing to be mourned, that's such an alien concept to what most of our culture has. And so I guess I'm not bringing this up so much because I feel like I have some answer to give to you, as much as a suggestion that it's a really good thing to look at our perspective. Now, a number of those people who have passed that have been known to me or known to clients or friends or colleagues of mine, a number of those that have passed over the last few years have done it in a much more conscious way. They've done it through hospice, where they're leaving more on their own accord, more, not so much on their own accord by choice necessarily, but leaving under their own terms, choosing to minimize the pain without trying to fight the process. And some of the people that I have been working with who've been going through these deaths have found it to be an amazingly empowering process. Both those who are the witnesses, the caretakers, the caregivers, the loved ones, and even the ones who are going through it, through the actual process of passing. And so I, that's why I bring it up, to say, well, look at your own ideas, your own thoughts about death. What does death mean to you in your life? I believe it's the Dalai Lama, but maybe this is a Buddhist teaching in general, who basically teaches that to really live as this moment is your last moment. Live with death always in mind. Not to be depressing or to be depressed, but to free yourself, to live this moment in the fullest way possible. To live this moment as if it were your last moment, what would you choose to do? And it puts a higher priority on each moment if we can. I don't know, that seems rather difficult to me, to focus on death every moment. But if we can think about perhaps just what's died during that day, what have I let go of? And get more comfortable with that process of letting go. That is ultimately what the process of death is. It's letting go of this body if we're the one leaving. It's letting go of attachments to another person if that other person is leaving. And certainly some forms of death seem easier to deal with when it's something that takes place over a period of time and there is a decline that takes place gradually, so you can see almost the life force leaving the person. I think in many ways that's probably easier than sudden death, accidental death, murder, things like that. And yet, I don't know. It depends, I think, on the consciousness, both of the person who is dying, I think. I don't know that any of us are ever fully ready for that last moment, but I think given a gradual decline, there would at least be a greater opportunity to prepare oneself for it. But it comes back around for me to living life fully, living life in this moment, as if this moment meant everything. Not to such a degree that you're exhausted all the time. That would tend to put me, I think, in a little bit of fight or flight. Oh my God, I have to do the right thing, the best thing possible in this moment. I can't decide. I think that would be a little bit of overkill. But I don't think that bringing this up and looking at it for ourselves and coming to peace with death, not so much preparing ourselves to leave the body, but coming to peace with the process that is the dying process. Because as much as we are living our lives, we are dying our lives as well. There are far more things that have been a part of my life previously that are not a part of my life now than there are things, in spite of my hoarding tendencies around books and crystals, then there are things that are going to stick around. The process of living is the process of letting go, which is the process of dying. So, not meaning to sound depressed here. I'm certainly not depressed. I did have a major download in the past couple of days and triggered a bunch of stuff, but that's neither here nor there. I'm actually in very high spirits at the moment, which may be the right time to talk about this. And maybe I'm bringing this up now because there's a month and a half until we get to the joint holidays of the Catholic Church, of All Saints Day and All Souls Day, and the secular celebration coming out of the pagan Samhain, depending on how, if people want to pronounce it closer to the correct way or how it's written, the pagan ritual or celebration that has to do with the dead that brought us Halloween. Maybe that's why, because give us time to connect energetically with death in a different way before we get to the minor celebration of it in our culture. And I don't say that meaning that in a sense that it's not powerful or out there. It is. What did I hear some comedian say? That even in the midst of how terrible things were in the environment last year, there were some, I don't know, $5 billion spent on Halloween costumes for pets. Some ridiculous number. And I don't even know if that's true, but it sounds like it might be. So I don't mean that it's minor in the sense that it doesn't get paid attention to, but we've turned Halloween even, and that time around there, into something that's a step removed from it. Now, not that I think Halloween should be turned into some depressing dirge time. That's not what I mean. But it's not a connection anymore. At least in the Catholic Church, it was a connection to the saints and to all souls. Every person who's died, that was what that day was about. And I'm sure there are traditions and other religions that do that as well. And, you know, the pagan was celebrating the connection to the other realms that was seemingly more open at that time. And so I guess that's at the core of what this is all about here, is continuing that process of opening up to be more alive to what's here by opening up to connect to more of what's beyond here. And that may seem like a paradox, but in some of the earliest channelings I ever did 16 years ago now, they were talking about a mistake, and I don't mean that in a judgmental term, a mistake meaning simply a mistake, missing idea or a mistaken idea about it, that so many people on the spiritual path were trying to get out of the body. This was when a lot of people were still looking for the spaceships to land so we could all leave together, or something like the rapture happening on a spiritual level, or, you know, looking forward to solstice in 2012, and that was going to change everything externally at a huge level. And what they were talking about was how much focus was being put by those on a spiritual path, by those on a healing path, on getting out of here, when in truth, the way to empowerment, the paradox of getting out of here, is that we get out of here by being here more fully. In other words, comes back around to the teaching that is everywhere now, but understood very deeply by so few, about being in the moment. What is being in the moment? It means being as present as possible with what's actually going on. And what that does is it frees us from our attachment to the past, and especially the pain and suffering and failings, and our projections into the future and our attachments there, our projections of pain and suffering and our attachment to that possibility of improvement. But by connecting more fully with this moment, we allow ourselves to transcend it. We allow ourselves, by being more fully present, to open up into the larger energy. One of the fascinating studies to me that's been done, multiple studies now that have been done, have looked at permanent changes in the brains of those who meditate. Specifically, they've studied like Tibetan monks and things like that, and longtime meditators, and looked at the difference in those brains to people who do not choose. And that's one way, certainly not the only way, to get into the moment, is through meditation. That's, to me, a core of what it's about. It's not about reaching the void or some specific experience. It's about choosing to focus more and more presently in the moment. And that, to me, I guess, is what I feel like has been lost, as we as a culture have pushed death farther away from us, taken it out of our lives. Now it's something, well, look at our cultural climate. We have a lot more of death on the screen and a lot more violent death on the screen than any other culture, I think. Certainly than European culture. And I think that's part of why. Because we've lost the connection with death and what it can bring us. And it's almost to shock us now back into connection with it. That's why we have that kind of imagery in so much of what we watch. And I may well be completely wrong about that, but I think there's a connection there. And we have a culture, again, partly that is very disconnected from death. And we have a culture that is very attached to things creating value, rather than relationships, rather than experiences, things. And it doesn't work. But again, I think it's because we've lost touch with a lot of that energy of letting go. Now, I'm probably speaking to the choir, everything I've said here today, that you are the ones who are much more open to that process of letting go. But this group energy is what caused me to make this the choice to speak about rather than the other topic, which was actually the one I was thinking was the more likely for me to talk about here today. But anyway, I think I'm tapped out for the moment on anything else to add to this, other than to say, well, what comes to mind is a phrase that comes out of one or more of the Native American traditions of "it's a good day to die" would be something they would say as they went off into battle. But I don't know. I think that may be a good thing to say every day as we step into the battle of being alive. It's a good day to die, meaning it's a good day to let go. What attachments can I let go of today? What can I let die that's holding me back from being in my power? From being able to fully choose. What am I attached to that's preventing me from being present enough to choose in this moment? And see if I can't let that die a little, let that attachment die, so that I can come to freedom and empowerment and choice. All right then. Well, as I said last week on the program, this coming Thursday is going to be the second of the Gateway activations in their new sequence, the new series. And this is going to be the Gateway of Doubt. And it's about moving from doubt creating distortion or delay into moving, using doubt to come into empowerment. And what all that means exactly, I don't know. They're always turning concepts on their head in the Gateway activations, but that will be this coming Thursday night on September 19th. And I would invite you to join me if you are interested or feel called energetically. And as I said last week, I didn't get the email out and it's not up on the website, but now you know. So let's do some channeling here. Allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in whoever is going to be speaking with us here today.
Oh,
dear ones. This is Anubis come to be with you today. Welcome. So we have a gift to offer you here today. And it is a gift of death. And let's just jump into it without too much explanation, if you will. If you're ready to let go, doesn't matter what you're ready to let go of, we're sure you have at least one thing that you are intending to let go of in your life that is not yet gone. Could be a person, could be a relationship, could be a habit, could be anything. But take a breath and allow yourself to go within, to focus in your heart. And in your heart, to see a casket or a coffin open and empty. And go to this casket or this coffin. And as you walk toward it, no matter how far you have to walk, your hands are at your side, and yet you're finding things in the palms of your hands. They're just appearing there. They're coming through your energy field, appearing in the palms of your hands. And it's a flow. It's a flow. And as you get to the coffin, as you get to that casket, you just put your hands over it. And these things that you are ready to let go of just flow out into that coffin, into that casket. You need not worry about how much is coming, how much is being let go of. Because it is only that amount that is perfect for you. And you cannot possibly overflow this coffin or casket. It will grow to suit what you are ready to shed. And some of these things you may see images or pictures or symbols as they're falling out of your hands and into the coffin or casket. Other things are just bits of energy. You may see color, you may see shape. You may not see anything at all. You may just feel it. And you may not feel it at all. But we tell you, you are letting go. We would suggest one thing you might bring into consciousness now is anything that you might categorize as a regret in your life. And you might also specifically bring up the energy of regretting things that you have said to those who are no longer in body that you wish you could take back or alter. And also to let go of things you regret not saying before another left the body. Well, many of you are getting to the point where you've gotten all of that out that you're getting out now. It's kind of like squeezing the last bit of toothpaste out of the tube. When you feel complete, take your hands and just rub them together, kind of like you were washing them with soap and water, and then just shake them. So you shake off, like you're shaking off that water, the last of those energies, into that energetic coffin, that casket. And look down into it and see if you can see those energies forming the shape of your own body, Not because it has anything to do with your physical death, but because all of these things are things that you have carried in your energy system somewhere, in your physical body somewhere. And this is letting go. This is the death of part of you, part that no longer serves you. You may see it, you may not, but know that it is occurring. And so we are going to take this, and we are going to close the coffin, put the lid on the casket. And now we are going to light it. And this is with divine fire. It does not need any fuel other than the casket and what you have let go into it. And it will burn all of it completely away. So stand back and watch it. Roast marshmallows or hot dogs if you like. Because this is sustaining. Death allows rebirth. Death allows you to experience the new, letting go of what no longer serves you. Allows you to open into what serves you now. And so for those of you with that kind of heart, that kind of sense of humor, that kind of imagination, cook something over it while it is burning. It will feed you. And know that this will keep burning until it is gone completely from you. And pat yourself on the back for letting go of whatever you let go of, no matter how much or little you perceived it to be. Transformation did occur and is occurring. And so we take our leave and leave our love. Namaste, dear ones. All right, everyone. Thank you so much, Anubis. Thanks to each and every one of you. Doug, Don, you can start those chimes whenever you are ready, the end chimes. Thank you to each and every one of you for this. I greatly appreciate it. As I say regularly, I cannot do this without you. This is a co-creative process. And I do appreciate all of the feedback I receive from you, positive or negative, and especially when you offer suggestions or specifics about what you like, what you don't like, what you like more of, questions that you might like or topics that you might like talked about here. All of it goes into the list. All of it goes into the pile to come back to the surface in divine timing as we co-create it together. So I wish you all a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous week. I certainly intend to be here same time, same place next week for... Well, let's see. Is the equinox actually next Sunday or next Saturday? I'm not sure, but it will be celebrating the equinox next weekend. And I wish you a marvelous week in the meantime. Much love, my friends. Namaste.